Let us pray. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by his glorious resurrection, you deliver us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, that we may live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Easter to all. This morning's readings need a little inspiration. No perspiration, just inspiration. And participation. So stay loose. First reading is from Isaiah 65. For I am about to create new heaven and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy, and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives only a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth. 100 years as youth. And one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruits. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent and its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. And this is the word of the Lord. The last verse of this psalm is to be said together. You'll read responsibly. And that last verse will be in joy and inspiration. From Psalm 118, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly. The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death. This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Now, together, with joy, with some feeling and inspiration, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A friend of mine once wrote, in congregations all over the world, there will be a of the peace and the praise we'll offer when our hope is fulfilled and we stand before Him in heaven. Heavy but true. Love it. From 1 Corinthians 15. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. But each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death, and that is the word of the Lord.
The Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words and returned from the tomb. They told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the disciples. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooped and looked in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Please pray with me. Loving and gracious God, on this day we celebrate the resurrection, and each day of our lives be celebrated in the light of the resurrection, to remember that we are Easter people, resurrection people. And help us to live that out in our lives. We give you thanks for your story, for the words that we have seen today and heard today. Now may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our Redeemer. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I got to thinking here about when I was a kid. During Holy Week, the thing I remembered is that as the congregation is looking at the chancel area, on the right side was a huge tomb that was rolled out with a big round stone that was there. And I remember it closing the door to the tomb. And of course, on Easter morning, that stone is rolled away. Every year, that tomb was there. And then on Easter morning, that stone was rolled away. It wasn't many years later that I figured out it was made of cardboard. It was one of those things, made of cardboard. But I also got to thinking, too, is that as a child growing up, I've known this story since my youth. I've known the story, and it's a great story, the story of Jesus Christ, his incarnation, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. It's a profoundly important and powerful story about God's love for humankind and the extent in which God will go to have us. That love is transformational. It's life-altering. And once we're touched by that love and respond to it, our lives are really never the same. Though their women were carrying heavy jars of spiced ointments, they were expecting to encounter death at the tomb. When they arrived, they were surprised that the tomb was empty. God's love did something that they were not expecting. Now, many of us go through life. We encounter death in many different ways, I suppose, in our lives, just like the women that first Easter morning. Perhaps we think that life is just going day to day, same old, we expect it to be boring or maybe a struggle. And there are times when life is struggle, but it is in these difficult times that we are surprised by God and His love. One of the things that I've done with groups over the years, I haven't done it here yet, so watch it. It may happen. But maybe you've done it this way. You know, have you ever done a life timeline? Just thought about your life and you mark those, you know, kind of the key points, the milestones in your lives and such. How many have done something like that? Okay. The milestones. And then I've also asked, you know, what are some particularly high points in your life? And mark those down. And some particularly low points in your life. And then mark those on that that life timeline. Then I would ask them when they felt close to God. And oftentimes, not every time, but oftentimes, the people would point to the low points in their lives when they felt closest to God. And we know that's true in our own lives. In the midst of the grief that we experience, the loss that we often experience, perhaps that loss this year is that one person that's not here for you. In the midst of all that stuff, God comforts us, surprises us. When we are sick, He gives us strength for healing. When we are facing challenges, God gives us courage to act in faith and overcome the challenges. God is full of surprises. You know, when the women went to the tomb, they encountered two men in dazzling white cloths. Now, we assume that these men were angels. They had a message to give the women. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but He is risen. Now, kind of like what Josie was doing up here, where do you find Jesus? I'd like to say that angels come in many forms. But the angels have a common mission that they do. And that common mission is to share the message of God's love and help us in our own confusion, in our own challenges, giving us courage and hope. Now, the good news the angels had for the women is that Jesus was among the living. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Jesus is with us. He is not dead. Nor has He separated us in some distant heaven. Jesus is with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul writes that Christians are in Christ and that Christ is in them. We have a new and unique relationship with God based on Jesus' resurrection and the empty tomb. Because Jesus lives, we're able to pray knowing that He will both hear us and understand us. Jesus lives. Because Jesus lives, we are able to face life with courage and strength that is not natural. Paul proclaims, and this is one of the verses from our Lenten text for our Wednesday night services. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, if you know me, I carry one of these things around quite often. The coffee cup. But one of my coffee cups, one of my favorite ones, and it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So as I get charged up for the day, I remember that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. By the way, there is some coffee out in the narthex there. If you want to grab some on your way out. Maybe somebody wants to get something. Because Jesus lives, we're never alone. Think about that. One of my favorite psalms, I call it my go-to psalm, is Psalm 139. And after a few verses in there, it starts out by saying, how well God knows me. And I hear that as both good news and bad news. I say, what do you want to hear? The good news first? God knows me. What's the good news? God knows me. To be known, to be named, to be claimed. Later on in that psalm, they have these words, where can I go from your presence, or where can I flee from you? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to the depths of the sea, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, which was a place of separation from the living, even there your right hand shall hold me and hold me fast. It just goes on and on with those images. There's no place that I can be that God isn't already there. No place. Now, we know the story. We've heard this story for 2,000 years. That's been a part of our lives. And sometimes we need to hear it anew. In fact, maybe we all need to hear it anew. And we've been conditioned to know and believe that Jesus Christ truly did rise from the dead. But did you think about it? These women and the disciples, they did not have that advantage. The advantage of knowing the story already. We know the story. They did not. The empty tomb for them was a totally new experience. No one has risen from the dead before. They struggled to believe. The women went to the disciples to tell them what they had found and what the angels had told them. The disciples didn't believe them. So to the disciples, the words of the women appeared to be just a tale. Peter thought, though may he makes the decision to not just sit there choosing to disbelieve, he gets up and goes to the tomb and finds it empty like they did. When he went home, he was amazed at what had happened. This last week, in the women's Bible study, we were talking about Jesus encountering different people after the resurrection. And one of those people was Thomas. Okay, when you hear the apostle Thomas, what's the nickname we have for him? He gets a bad rap. I want you to know that. He gets a bad rap because he didn't desire anything else than the disciples already had received when Jesus met them in the upper room. But I want to say to you that faith always is accompanied by doubt. Doubt is a part of faith. Doubt is the part of faith that helps us to ask questions and to search and to wonder. It's not the opposite of faith. It's part of faith. When we walk by faith, God is always pushing us beyond our comfort levels, encouraging us to take a step, even a leap of faith. Oftentimes, people get stuck at this point, not willing to step out, step forward. They aren't sure that they believe the gospel and what it means for their lives. Rather, they take a step of faith and they sit back and do nothing. We struggle to live in the reality of the resurrection. If there is truly life after death, then we are freed. We can do more with our lives than simply exist. Exist for ourselves. There's more. We're not quite sure that we can never outgive God. So we hold back and never realize the joy and the power of giving. God sometimes doesn't seem powerful enough to do exceedingly abundant things above all we ask or think, or that we are able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Because our doubts, we sit and do little or nothing. The people of God, the tomb is empty. God's love has moved powerfully beyond those bonds of death. And we're invited, like Peter, to get up and to act in response to the empty tomb. The tomb is empty. Jesus is risen from the dead. And we can celebrate the power of God's love with our words, our songs, as we lift them up, as we celebrate with our lives lived in the reality of this resurrection. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. I want you to get louder than me now. I'll even shut my mic off.
Christ is risen.
He is risen.